fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. World football's governing body, FIFA, released its latest monthly rankings for men's teams on Thursday. Belgium remains number one, followed by France, Brazil, England, and Portugal. Rounding out the top 10 are Uruguay, Spain, Croatia, Colombia, and Argentina. The highest-ranked African team at number 20 overall is Senegal. And for our VOA football fans keeping score, the Lions of Taranga from Senegal have been ranked number one in Africa throughout 2019. The Carthage Eagles of Tunisia are next on the continent at number 29, followed by Nigeria at 34, African champion Algeria at 38, and Morocco at 39. Rounding out the top 10 African teams, according to FIFA, we have Egypt at 49, Ghana at 51, Cameroon at 53, the Democratic Republic of Congo at 55, and Ivory Coast at 56. Elsewhere in African football, Ghana's all-time leading scorer, Asamoah John, has signed with the club Northeast United in the India Super League. The 33-year-old John says he's extremely excited to start this new chapter in his career. It's been a well-traveled career for the Ghanaian striker. Northeast United is John's 10th club, and he's been based previously in England, France, Italy, Turkey, China, and the United Arab Emirates. Asamoah John has also represented the Black Stars of Ghana at 3 World Cups, Germany 2006, South Africa 2010, and Brazil 2014. With 6 goals, Asamoah John is the top African goal scorer in the history of the World Cup. And overall, John has scored a record 51 goals for the Black Stars. In more African football news, Frenchman Nicolas Dupuy has signed a new 4-year contract to continue as the head coach of Madagascar. The 51-year-old Dupuy led Madagascar to the quarterfinals in the country's debut appearance at this year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. Under the new deal, Dupuy will also serve as the technical director of the Madagascar Football Federation and continue with his job as the coach of the French 4th Division club, Fleury 91. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African wrestling, a Nigerian woman has qualified for next year's Olympics in Japan based on her performance at the World Championships in Kazakhstan. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye called Kazakhstan, and he reached the president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, Daniel Igali.
Yes, Oduayo Adekoroye narrowly lost and will be wrestling for bronze medal. And by qualifying for the semifinals, she has already won a slot for Nigeria and has qualified us to represent at the Olympics next year, the 2020 Olympics in Japan.
Out of the 6 wrestlers, what is the category that the person made it for Nigeria?
Oduayo Adekoroye is in the 57-kilogram class.
What about the rest of the Team Nigeria athletes that went? How would you describe their performances?
Mercy Genesis lost 2 bouts. The last one very narrowly, 9-9. Wrestled very well, so I'm not really discouraged by about at all. And we also have Blessing Oyebuchi, who will be wrestling against an opponent from Brazil. We have Blessing Oborududu, who will be wrestling an opponent from Italy. And Aminat Adeniyi, who will be wrestling an opponent from India. So we have 3 athletes wrestling, and Oduayo Adekore will be wrestling for the bronze medal.
Apart from the person who has already qualified, is there hope from the remaining wrestlers for Team Nigeria?
It's until they wrestle. Everybody has hope. We came here because we came with the athletes who we think have the opportunity to qualify Nigeria for the Olympics. So until they finish wrestling, we will not know how they will do. But so far, I'm very impressed with the level of preparations. I'm happy with the mindset that they've exhibited so far. And I'm hoping that everybody will give their best effort on the mat.
What would you tell Nigerians at home regarding your outing so far?
I think our outing has been passable. It's been good. We've had two athletes who have competed. One, unfortunately, didn't win, but gained very valuable lessons that we are going to take moving forward to other Olympic qualifying tournaments. Oduwayo Adekunle, who was ranked number 3 in the world, has shown everybody that she's number 3 indeed. We were hoping for more. We were hoping to get into the finals, but we came short in the quarterfinals and in the semifinals, but we'll still be hoping to win the bronze medal. So far, I think we've done well. We have 3 other athletes that will compete. We also have another man that will compete, and we're hoping that this is his first world championships, but we're hoping that he is also going to do Nigeria proud. So, all in all, we're here with 6 athletes, and I'm hoping that, barring anything, that we're going to qualify at least a couple of people for the Olympics.
That's Daniel Igali, the president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Kazakhstan.
Hi, my name is Daniel Igali, president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, world and Olympic champion. I want to say a big shout-out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. With Olympic qualifying competition heating up, the heat itself in Japan is proving worrisome for organizers ahead of next year's Tokyo Games. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson has that story, as well as a package of golf news.
There are growing concerns that the heat and humidity at the Tokyo Olympics next summer may pose a danger to athletes. Across the country, a heat wave beginning late in July killed at least 57 people. With temperatures topping 35 degrees Celsius, clear skies, and humidity peaking above 80%, organizers say they are taking measures to combat the potential hazards. George Havanith is an expert on the effects of temperature and climate on athletes.
When it gets warmer, of course, the skin gets warmer and doesn't lose that much heat to the environment, and the sweat evaporation still is then the main factor for cooling. Now, if we also push up the humidity as it would happen in Tokyo, that means that that sweat evaporation gets even more difficult. So it gets more and more difficult to lose the heat.
Havanith says heat stroke is a big danger, especially for endurance events.
About 15% of athletes, even in a cool environment, have body temperatures above 40 degrees Celsius. Now, if we push the temperature higher and the cooling gets more of an issue, we get more and more athletes in that whole cohort going into these temperatures above 40 degrees Celsius, bringing them closer and closer to the level where we can expect an exertional heat stroke.
Tokyo hosted test events in recent weeks, including a mixed triathlon relay and a swimming marathon, among the endurance sports seen as posing some of the biggest dangers to athletes like Yumi Kita of Japan.
The sunlight was strong and the water temperature was high. When I joined the race, I worried I might suffer from heat stroke.
Games organizers have shifted the start times of several endurance events to begin early in the morning and say they're taking other measures to mitigate against the heat. Yasuo Mori is with the Tokyo 2020 Games Operations Bureau.
Such as increasing water supply points and cooling areas. I also hear they are deploying medical staff every 500 meters of the marathon course.
Havanith says additional measures may be needed.
Having ice baths available for the athletes to cool them down quickly if they have an exertional heat stroke is the advised method.
The last time Tokyo hosted the Olympics in 1964, the games were moved to October to avoid the summer heat. With a packed sports calendar and demands from global broadcasters, that's no longer possible. Scientists say it's vital athletes acclimatize themselves well in advance of the start of the Games in July 2020.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Surging to the top was Spanish golfer Sergio Garcia, collecting his 16th career win at the KLM Open in Amsterdam.
Everyone's special, but this one it's obviously very, very special because, you know, my wife, my daughter are here, some of my family are here. I think that also to be playing Holland for the first time and get the W it's amazing. It's a dream come true, and you know, it's I couldn't imagine a better week than this.
Garcia's 18 under par score is impressive, especially when the weather conditions are factored in.
It was breezy. It wasn't easy. Some of the pins were tacked, were difficult to get to. So yeah, very, very proud of the way I played all week and you know, under pressure, and how I held it together, and you know, how you know, where we are now.
Nikolaj Højgaard of Denmark finished one shot back.
It was fun out there. I got a good start, and everything just come down to one putt. So I'm just very proud of getting a chance to get in a playoff with Sergio. So I'm pleased to be here.
While he didn't win the tournament, Højgaard's runner-up finish won him the right to play on the European Tour for the next year.
This week can mean that I'm playing European Tour next year. I'm a bit in between with everything, so hopefully I'm on my way out there.
The Open d'España is next for Garcia, giving him a chance to play on home soil and in front of his countrymen.
Playing in Spain is always it's always nice. It's always something amazing and special, and I love playing in front of my home crowds, and I've been fortunate to be very successful in Spain, so you know, I'll try to keep doing more of the same in a couple of weeks.
Very, very special week.
Memories of a win last year propel Italian golfer Francesco Molinari into his defense of the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth in Surrey, England.
It was the start of a magic few months for me, so yeah, really, really happy to be here. It's a course and an event that I enjoy to play every year, but obviously defending makes it extra special.
With six top 10 finishes at Wentworth, Molinari can't quite tell why he's had success there.
I don't know, to be honest. It's a pretty strong golf course. You know, you need to play well. I guess T2 green, it's where you can really make a difference around here, and that's usually the strength in my game. But yeah, it's just a course that inspires me to play good shots and to play good golf.
Shane Lowry of Ireland won before he hit his first tee shot.
I got awarded honorary life membership to the tour, which is, you know, I don't get emotional too much, and I haven't done since I won the Open, but that was kind of quite an emotional thing, because I suppose when I start playing golf, you don't know how good you're going to be, but to get something like that, I think is, you know, it's really nice, and it's... you know, it's a nice thing for myself, my family, to be able to share together. And yeah, it's just, you know, I'm very grateful.
European Tour honorary life membership aside, Lowry is happy to have made the trip to Wentworth this week.
I always look forward to coming to Wentworth. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year, and I just love playing golf around this place, and I really enjoy it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to Thursday and Friday, and hopefully I can shoot a couple of decent scores and put myself in a position going into the weekend.
A change in schedule gives the players a chance to enjoy a cooler visit to Wentworth as opposed to previous rounds in summer heat.
It was a good idea for the tour to bring into September. You know, obviously you remember the old match play days here, and you remember watching it on TV and Ernie winning all those match plays and stuff like that. So you know, it is noticeably greener and a lot more grass on the course.
A decade has passed since Paul Casey of England won at Wentworth.
I guess it does feel like 10 years. It feels like a, yeah, in a weird way, a lifetime ago. It was one of the biggest victories, and still is, in my career, because this is where I used to come and watch golf, and the greats like Seve and Fowler and Woozy and all these guys play around this golf course, which was the spark which really sort of lit the fire. I wanted then to play professional golf and do what those guys were doing. A win on a course that I knew so well and loved was a dream come true, and I still pinch myself.
Casey is back on top after winning the Porsche European Open and ready to add to his personal wealth of Wentworth memories.
I've got two titles here. Obviously the World Match Play was another one of those. I've got two clubs on display in the great clubhouse behind us, which I'm very proud of. you know, it's a nice to be able to add to the fabric of golf and you know, get your name etched on trophies. I'd love another one. To have a decade between a couple of titles would be special. And I guess no reason why I can't.
English golfer Paul Casey, winner of the recent Porsche European Open in Germany. And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that spicy sports package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Tennis fans are getting excited in Switzerland, where the third edition of the Laver Cup team tournament is about to start. Joining us with a preview is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The best male tennis players in the world touch down in Geneva, where heavily favored Team Europe will serve for a third consecutive title against Team World. Swiss great Roger Federer, who helped initiate the tournament, says he's happy his native country will play host to this year's event.
I mean, I love playing here. It's my favorite country in the world. It's where I want to grow old. It's where I want to see my kids grow up. So for me, of course, while I'm still playing tennis and played in many places around the world, it's never as nice than to play at home. So it's nice to be here.
In 2017, the Laver Cup made its debut in Prague, where Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal made headlines and history when they played alongside each other in doubles. And Federer says he's happy for the chance to reunite with the newly crowned U.S. Open champion.
So happy that he's here. You know, I can't be thankful enough, you know, looking back in hopefully 20 years that I can always say Rafa was there at the first one in Prague. He was there, he supported us, and he believed in the idea. Same here. He couldn't be more pumped up for this event. He's just won the U.S. Open. It would have been so easy for him to say, like, look, I need a break. But he said, no, my break's coming afterwards. I push it all aside, and I'm doing this because I really believe in the concept of the Laver Cup, and I believe in you guys, and it's nice to have a friend like that.
And as part of Team Europe, Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal are featured on the side that are the solid favorites at this year's tournament. Team Europe has won both previous editions, and Captain Bjorn Borg says his team is prepared to defend the title.
We are the defending champions, so we hope to try to defend our title anyway. I know it's going to be very difficult because Team World has a tough team, and the previous years it's been very, very close to matches. But Team Europe this year, we have good players, but anything can happen. But I'm sure it's going to be some good tennis that people will enjoy, and definitely it's going to be a lot of close matches.
Team World has fallen short of victory in their previous Laver Cup appearances, but Team World competitor John Isner reminded the Geneva crowd to give some love to the underdogs.
We have been close for 2 years, and we're looking to get over the hump this year. It's going to be very tough. It's going to be very, very tough. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere, and we would appreciate if some of you guys actually cheered for us this week. So that would... That would actually go a long way in helping us, because this team over here is pretty decent. And so, as I said, we're going to have our hands full. And thanks a lot, Geneva. You guys are fantastic.
And Team World captain John McEnroe says after losing the previous two titles, it's time for his team to step it up.
We've been very close, obviously. So close yet so far. So it would be awesome this time. We're going to get over the hump, get a little luck going our way, and step up.
The three-day team competition is named in honor of Australian tennis legend Rod Laver. And since its debut, the event has taken place in front of sold-out crowds of tennis enthusiasts who come to watch the world's top-ranked players on one stage. And as John McEnroe points out, the tournament remains a very unique fixture in the sport of tennis.
The people behind it, Rod Laver and Roger Federer, help and being in Switzerland. But of course, players love to play in atmospheres like that. And it's nice to be part of it in a tiny way. So it's nice that people are still trying to do things outside the box.
The third edition of the Laver Cup tournament begins on Friday and concludes on Sunday. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In pro boxing, Mexican star Saul Canelo Alvarez and the Russian Sergei Crusher Kovalev have faced off at a news conference ahead of their title fight November 2nd in Las Vegas, Nevada. Canelo and the Crusher met in Los Angeles to promote their showdown. Now, Canelo is moving up in weight to challenge Kovalev for his WBO light heavyweight title. There didn't seem to be much trash talk in Los Angeles. Both boxers described the other as a great fighter. Canelo says he respects Kovalev and says he has a very difficult style. For his part, the Crusher says this is the biggest fight of his life. He says he respects Canelo 100%. Kovalev will bring a record of 34 wins, 3 losses, and 1 draw into the bout against Canelo. The Mexican challenger has 50 victories, 1 defeat, and 2 draws. The American Andre Ward beat Crusher Kovalev twice, and the Russian's third loss came against the Colombian Elider Alvarez, no relation to Canelo Alvarez, in August 2018. However, Kovalev reclaimed the WBO light heavyweight title in early February this year, when he scored a unanimous decision victory against Elider Alvarez in their rematch. Kovalev is also coming off an 11th round stoppage victory against mandatory challenger Anthony Yard of Britain last month in Russia. Canelo versus the Crusher on November 2nd in Las Vegas. And that wraps up the September 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here, only the best on VOA Africa.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers all over the world are abuzz with excitement after word that a possible second interstellar object was recently discovered in our solar system. The object was determined to be a comet, and it was discovered by Gennady Borisov on August 30, 2019, at the Margot Observatory in Crimea. NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory reports that the comet is continuing its trip toward the sun, but the JPL scientists predict that the distant traveler will only make it to a point that's a bit behind the orbit of Mars and about 300 million kilometers from Earth. While the comet has not yet been confirmed that it is of interstellar origin, it was given the designation C-2019-Q4 Borisov. The first interstellar object to visit our solar system was the mysterious and cigar-shaped Oumuamua in October 2017. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
News happens around the clock, and VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour.
This is Joe Palca.
I'm Victor Beatty.
Francis Alonso.
Tune in for a summary of the news At the top of each hour, around the clock on the Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years.